The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but they make you smile. They're funny. You can laugh at them, and who doesn't need something to laugh at? The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, like we say every day, hopefully, before this introduction is over. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. Probably won't, but we could if we wanted to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I got my bill a couple weeks ago. I'm asking the same question. Why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That process, that thing. Many of you went to church yesterday. That's good. How you doing today? That's the next question. You might have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question yourself. You may have a prayer request. We do have one that we're going to talk about in a little bit. You might have a praise report. You might have something you want to share that the Lord's working on in your life. You might have an answer to Bible trivia. All of that is fantastic. We certainly want you to participate. The whole premise of the show, this is not your church. This is a Christian community where we're trying to encourage one another as we see the day approaching and just strengthen one another and bless one another and pray for one another and care for one another, fulfilling that which the Lord has set before us. We have a couple of cool things to tell you today. First of all, if you want to reach out to us, you can call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Amazing Jennifer is going to be...
I'm back.
You're back. Now, she is amazing, in case you guys... You are. You're really great. And so we're excited to have you back. We hope you guys enjoy it. It'll be this way for a couple of days yet, and we'll give you the information on that later on. But Amazing Jen going to be hanging out with us. By the way, if you ever want me to change that name to something like... mostly amazing, but not always amazing, semi-amazing, or do you want me just to stick with amazing?
You can stick with amazing for now, but I'll let you know if that changes.
Okay, you got it. All right, so you can call and talk to her before you get to talk to me, which is always a sad thing when you do. 972-445-0770. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. Comes live right here on my desk, on my phone. That's all working fine, which is a blessing. But remember, you can't call that number. You got to text that number. And finally, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, as in David, not King David, just David. david@hemustincrease.org. That's pretty important there. That leads us to our website. And what's important about our website is there's encouragement on there, there's video on there, there's audio on there, there's pictures on there, there's little sayings, there's little different things there. There's a link to Build Your Own Battlestar. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on there. But really, it's also a place to give, and we don't have a hesitation telling you if the Lord puts it on your heart, that's a great place to do it. We ask you to check out hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He must increase ministry. You too. He must increase ministry. All right, now today's show or for today. So we got a phone call from our very, very faithful listener and caller, Mary, and her daughter-in-law was in early labor. So we want to just offer up a prayer. We've been praying for a lot of people, and that's exactly how it should be. Different people go through different trials at different times, and we want to be there for them and carry that burden. One of the great ways to carry the burden of another person is to start praying, and you start praying that the Lord brings victory, and you start praying that the Lord brings them through it, and you become a part of it. It's a really cool process. And, oh, by the way, just in case you're trying to figure out from a physiological point of view, when you are concentrated on others, there is more activity in your endorphin region in your brains than any other time. I'm just like, you think that's an accident? Nay. I say nay. All right, so let's pray for Mary's daughter-in-law who's had early labor. We don't know the fullness of the situation. I'm sure Mary will call and fill us in. Let's pray for her. Father, we come before you right now, and we love you, and we praise you. You are so kind to us, more kind than we can even express. Your graciousness is fantastic. And we just want to say, first and foremost, thank you. In Romans 1, Paul wrote, by your direction, first I thank my God. In Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks in all things. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We thank you. You're just awesome. We ask you and we petition you to help Mary's daughter-in-law, some early labor. Don't know the extent of the situation. You know everything about it. We're just praying for a calm. We're praying for great resolution, and we're praying for your kindness to be in this situation, that they can know that, Lord, you are in charge, and you will help, and you will guide your children. We lift them up before you. We praise you. We have a good expectation. We have a little bit of faith, and we have confidence that with that little bit of faith, you can move mountains. Please do so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, so that's how we start the show. Why? Because we're a part of one another, and that's why we do stuff like that. Let's go right into the text. I want to go right into this portion, which is rather important. We're in the Thessalonians. This is the first Thessalonians, first two letters to the church at Thessalonica. This is the first. We've already gone through a majority or the top portion of chapter 3. I want to pick it up from verse 4 so you can see the sequence of thought. It says this, in fact, when we were with you, we told you in advance that we were going to experience affliction. As you know, it happened. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent him, referring to Timothy, to find out about your faith, fearing that the tempter had tempted you. There's something that people will not acknowledge. It's kind of a weird, I think it's a weird exposition process, but people are like, you know, you can never have fear. Nobody ever has fear. There's never anybody afraid of anything. Jesus was never afraid of anything. And it's true that Jesus was never tormented by fear. That would be accurate. But Paul, in more than one statement, in this statement, and also in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, makes this statement. He said, you can't change it. He said, fearing that the tempter had tempted you, Paul was concerned. A lot of people, when they talk about Paul, they think he was mean, he was this, he didn't like women, all this stuff. It's like, it's all such rubbish. People take bits and pieces of the scripture to try and create a personality from this guy. They're not even close. Paul said something that shows just exactly how human he is. He said, when I could stand it no longer, I just couldn't take it. I mean, it was just driving me crazy. You ever felt that way? It's just driving me batty. I don't know how you guys are doing. I'm kind of concerned here. Now, unlike me, Paul had the patience to write that, send it in a letter, have the letter travel, okay? We're not talking about email. The letter comes back. It gets to Paul. You know, it's a process. For me, if it's something happens to me, I send an email. If I don't get a response within 60 seconds, I think maybe there's a crater in the earth and it has sucked in all of life and I'm just going to be the last one to go. Right? Okay, I'm glad I'm alone in that. The idea behind this is that Paul couldn't take it anymore. It was driving him batty. You're not the only person that when things happen, you just like going, doing, doing, doing. Where is the piece of wood so I can bang my head against it because I'm losing my mind? So he says, you know, this for this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I had to send my Timothy to you. I had to send my buddy, my protege, my disciple, somebody that was very close. And I do want you to catch that Timothy was an extremely big help for Paul. So Paul is sacrificing by sending Timothy. It's like whoever your right-hand person is. So if you're married, it's your spouse. And it's like, I'm sending my spouse to you. I'm sending my very close person to you. I'm going to do without him. He's going to find out what's going on. And the reason that I'm doing this is I am concerned. I am afraid that the tempter – who's the tempter? Who's the – don't tell me it's McDonald's. That's not the tempter. Don't tell me it's, you know, it's some of the things on television. The tempter is Satan. You know, remember the church lady? Could it be – I don't know. Could it be Satan? Satan? Yes, that's who it is. And so he was concerned about that because he didn't want them to get swallowed up. Now, I've heard a lot of people teach and say, oh, Christians, they never have to be concerned about any of that stuff. It's like, really? I'm reading this letter from Paul, who was, led by the Holy Spirit to write the letter, and Paul is expressing a deep concern for other believers about them getting lambasted. So I would think that if he's concerned about that and it's in Holy Writ, it's there for a reason. Does that mean you have to be afraid all the time? Of course not. Boy, everybody just, everything to an extreme, right? Can't just have it right down the middle. You know, that thing called balance. But Paul was concerned. He's very human. He was very upset. And he was afraid that something might have happened to them. So he wanted to send somebody in there just so he can get the answers. And that was the key. So now you can know that when you're reading the Apostle Paul, he's not this big ogre. He's a guy that's going, I'm worried about this. Because he cares about people, just like we're supposed to. All right, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to understand. Bad news does not necessitate that there is nowhere else to go except to weep. In Psalm 112, verse 7, the scripture says, "He will not fear bad news. His heart is confident, trusting in the Lord." It's not pie in the sky to look at the situation and go, "Gosh, it's terrible, but I'm going to hold hope because hope is the only thing I have to move past it. If it never comes about, that's fine, but I'm going to live every day believing that there's a better tomorrow. When people think of that, they think, "Oh, Christianity, it's a crutch. It's the opiate of the people," is what Karl Marx said. It takes more guts, more strength, more determination in this day and age to be a Christian and to stand in your faith than it does to be any other thing that there is, because it's the Christians who are under persecution, and it's the people of faith that are getting slaughtered, and, oh, by the way, throughout the world that's taking place. Amazing Grace. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That's right. You know, it was raining when I was driving in, and I know this is bad. I shouldn't say this, but I'll just say it. So I'm driving in, and there was a ton of rain between Fate and Irving. Just a lot. And I kept thinking, one of the last times I was driving in California, it was raining really hard. And you know what they were doing in the city of San Diego? They were watering the grass while it was raining really hard. You just think in your mind, you think there's got to be a button that somebody can go click. You know, I don't know. Just call me crazy. Okay, here's your first trivia question. Which top Jewish religious leader visited Jesus at night? Which top Jewish religious leader visited Jesus at night? Keep in mind, I'm using a new quiz book, which is kind of cool because it asks the same kind of questions but asks them different ways, but it gives me a whole bunch more to ask you. And so if you think you know that, you can call in at 972-445-0770. You can talk to Amazing Jennifer, or you can text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can also send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. I will also get that as well. But it looks like we do have somebody ready to answer the trivia.
Well,
yes?
He has a question for you.
Okay. Okay. We'll put him on. Okay. Who are we about to talk to?
Troy.
Troy's going to ask a question. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Get ready. Here we go. This is David. How you doing, Troy? Troy, you there?
Say, I was at the doctor's office the other day, and this reception asked me a question, and I didn't really know how to answer it. She said that 9 times out of 10, when somebody dies, they're always a good person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't ever speak any evil over the casket like a preacher. Like I told a preacher, so-and-so was a good man, and he was bad as the devil. What happened to that preacher? I mean, does he get the fault for my lying, or what happened?
All right, let's lay down the reality check. Everybody who thinks they're good should just look at Isaiah, where it says, "All our righteousness is as filthy rags." So the idea behind that a person is basically good, a person sins probably somewhere between 8 and 14 sins a day between the ages of 13 and 80, which comes out to about 292,000 sins in a lifetime, which nobody's doing 292,000 good works, even if they are doing good things. That's number one. Number two, our righteousness will never be good enough. Number three, if you tell the preacher something and you mislead the preacher, we would call that lying. Okay. Number four, if the preacher doesn't know any better, he probably shouldn't say any better if he doesn't know. But then the ultimate thing here is that every person, if they don't, and they stand before the Lord and the Lord simply says, "Why should I let you in?" And they have any answer coming up other than because of the redeeming work that Jesus Christ displayed by dying for me, by being buried, by raising again on the third day, and by ascending to the right hand of the Father. He did that because he loved me, but he did that because I needed that righteousness given to me by God through Christ. If anybody's got an answer different than that, I don't care what they say over the casket. It don't matter. Not going in. So there's not, you know what I'm saying?
Go
so the
ahead.
Preacher the Go preacher ahead. Would be responsible, the person would be responsible who lied to the preacher, and the person who died would be responsible. Everybody's going to be responsible.
Okay. Well, you know, every time you hear about somebody getting killed by a cop or getting run over or something, they always said, oh, they give the shirt off their back.
Yeah.
And then when they get to the funeral home, they say the same thing to the preacher.
Yeah, that's just everybody being nice, Troy. Don't worry about it. Everybody's trying to be nice. They're trying to say nice things. The reality check is Jesus said, if you, talking about human beings, are evil and you give good gifts from time to time, how much more will your Heavenly Father give to you? All right, let me see if you can answer this question, though, real quickly on the trivia. Who was the big religious leader who visited Jesus at the nighttime? He was known as a Pharisee. Do you remember what his name was?
I'm going to pass that up. Can I tell you a joke?
You can, and then we're going to exit. But go ahead, tell me a joke.
This rich man, he passed away, and a bunch of people owed him money. So as they was passing by the casket for the last look, they were dropping money in the casket, paying him back what they owed him. So his wife was about the 10th one in a row, so she came up and wrote a check, took all that money, and put the check in the coffin.
There you go.
All righty.
Thank you, brother. Take care.
No kidding. I mean, 9 times out of 10,
I know,
somebody passes away, and they were the best person on earth.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I do know what you're talking about. All right, my brother. Yeah. Good job.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. He's not wrong on that. This person was the greatest person ever. Not really. Okay. Let's just move on to the next thing. So if you think you know the answer to the question, who was the religious leader who visited Jesus at night, did it so that nobody else would know what was going on? Your answer is going to be in John chapter 3. For those that aren't sure, you're welcome still to call 972-445-0770, and somebody's calling. And then you're also welcome. You're also welcome. It's a variant of welcome. I just don't know what it is. To text in 214-210-8483. And then also you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Are they going to answer? We ready for this? Okay, we got an answer coming. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Good day, David. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. How's Susie doing?
Better.
Good.
Better.
But they still need to be praying, right? We still need to be praying for Susie, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So Troy had a couple of fun things to share, and now we're going to ask you about this one. Who was the religious leader who came to visit Jesus at night? They didn't want anybody to know who he was. Who was it?
I believe that'd be Nicodemus.
That is correct! Now, you want to hear something real funny? You'll really appreciate this if you catch the humor on this. He came at night. He didn't want anybody to know, and it's in Holy Writ, so everybody knows. he tried to be sneaky about it, and God said, hey, we'll just put this in the Bible.
All right.
Is that great? All right. Good job, Deborah. Okay. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, and everybody texted in, got it right. That was fun. We're so weird, aren't we? Okay, let me do this. This is really important. So at the end of that Thessalonians section, I want to just say this because this is super important for people to catch. Remember, we just talked about Paul saying, I could stand it no longer. I sent to find out about your faith, you know, fearing that the tempter had tempted you and that our labor might have been for nothing. So Paul's concern was that Satan was going to get the best of people and take advantage. So let's understand a few things real quickly. Satan never wins the war. Okay, you want to know how the war ends? Just read the book of Revelation. You will find out they did do this test. It is confirmed. They took 100 people who were new Christians, who had no Christian affiliation. They all read the book of Revelation, and almost 80% of them said, Jesus wins. That was their theological conclusion. That's a pretty good understanding of what the book of Revelation is. Well, you're winning. You're going to win. This is not a question of whether you're winning or not. But there are still battles that have to be fought, and those fought battles can have impressions on us or can leave us with some pains or some wounds. And so Paul writes, "I was fearing that the tempter had tempted you and that our labor might have been for nothing. You'd get no advantage. You'd lose the battle. You'd miss out what's going on. You wouldn't walk further in the kingdom. You'd be stifled. You'd have limited fruit." And that's an important element to remember. It's not that our labor is forgotten by God. It's never forgotten by God. Hebrews 6:10 says, "God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you've helped his people and continue to help them." But there are times where you'll hear something in church, read something in the Bible. The Lord will even reveal something to you in prayer. You know it's right. You're planning on, you know, well, I'm going to incorporate this into my life. And then you don't. And when you don't, guess who's losing? You are. And the person who shared it with you, be it maybe it's the pastor who prepared it in a sermon, there's going to be nothing that comes of it, even though he put that labor into it. That's what it's talking about. People are like, "Well, this is an issue of salvation." No, you didn't even, it's not even in there. That does not say that. What it says is you're gonna be the work that we did is going to be for naught because you guys aren't using it. It's kind of like what Jesus said, being a doer and not just a hearer only. And the enemy, his biggest goal against the Christian is, one, to make the Christian think he doesn't exist, and then, two, to do whatever he can to make you more of a hearer than a doer, because it's the doing that affects his kingdom. You can hear all the great teaching you want. You don't do something with it, there's a problem, right? That's his warfare strategy. We know that's true. So, you know, Paul's like, "Boy, I hope our labor wasn't for nothing." It's like, no kidding. I mean, I get on this show, I get a chance to encourage people, and I am blessed that they're encouraged. But there's going to be some people that listen in one ear, out the other. Well, for them, that was nothing. I mean, that's just the truth of it. That's not an evil thing. It's a bummer because, well, it is an evil thing because Satan stole it. That, in that sense, it's evil. Don't let that happen. Guard that which has been entrusted to you. Make sure that when the Lord shows you something, you utilize it. You take the necessary steps to implement it in your life so it becomes a part of you, not just a thought that you think is cool. Make sense? Okay. All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience. Right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, top of the hour. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears. And you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
As promised, we are going to now have our interview with the Apostle Peter. We were fortunate enough to have an interview a couple weeks back with an angel from heaven, and now we've been given permission from the powers on high to go ahead and have an interview with the Apostle Peter. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time for whatever's going on there in the heavenly realms and talking to us.
Well, Dave, you're welcome. I'm real glad to see that people are carrying on the work of loving our Lord Jesus Christ and advancing the kingdom. And I'm very, very, very pleased to see that the radio station is moving forward in advancing the Lord Jesus Christ in his lordship, both in personal lives and in corporate lives. It's a great thing for me to see.
Well, thank you, Peter. That's great. And so I guess I want to ask you some basic questions. I'm really breaking this interview down into two separate sections. The first section is kind of before the resurrection, and the second section is kind of after the resurrection, after the ascension.
Okay, Dave, that'll be fine. I know exactly what you're trying to accomplish here. Probably unknown to you is that we know exactly where this is going.
Well, Peter, I don't want to say that that's kind of scary, but okay. Here's my first question to you, sir. What are you absolutely the most proud of as a disciple and as an apostle of Jesus Christ?
Well, David, that's a great question. The thing that I am absolutely the most proud of was the moment that Jesus asked all of us to identify who he really was. And it was at that moment that I was able to say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's the actual rock that the church has been built on. I think some people thought that the rock might have been me myself, but it was my confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is that statement of faith that the church has been built upon and that the gates of hell have never nor will ever prevail against.
The David Spoon Experience.